It's impossible to answer that. I don't know. I don't even know what to say. I think when you start racing or just have a motorcycle on the road, your life changes totally. Like there is a before and an after. Sometimes they say, "Ah, be careful. It's really, really dangerous." I'm like, "Oh, sorry, I didn't know. Nobody told me when I passed the license. It's a big surprise. If it's dangerous, take the key. I don't want it anymore."
Hello there and welcome to Full Chat with me, David Prutton.
And me, Ewan Thomas, celebrating all things we love about being on two wheels. Full Chat is powered by Bikesure. As the UK's largest independent motorcycle insurance broker, Bikesure will sort you a quote that will help you save money on your annual bike, scooter or moped insurance.
Don't forget to press subscribe on YouTube so that you never miss an episode, or you can press the follow button on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Right, I'm looking forward to today's episode because we are joined by a very, very talented woman. Literally, whatever she turns her hand to, it turns into gold. She's a fashion model, a former gymnast. She's now a motorcycle racer and a very, very sought-after influencer. We say good morning because she's in France. We say bonjour and ça va. Bonjour, ça va to Amelia Dobrev.
Yes, it's not really French, but...
Bonjour, this is good French, no? Bonjour, ça va?
Yeah, no, Dobrev was not, but bonjour is perfect. It's bonjour, comment allez-vous?
I got hello, okay, but I got your surname incorrect, yeah?
Yeah.
Never mind, first. Oh, by the way, before we start, I've got a cup in your honour. Look, bonjour, there we go. I've gone all continental for you.
And I have one with an English brand, so...
Yes, perfect. We so are. We're meeting in the middle. It's a meeting of minds. It's a meeting of cultures. It's a meeting of people from different parts of the world, which is what our wonderful podcast is about, Amelia. Thank you so much for joining us. I mean, the first question comes off the back of Ewan's wonderful introduction. How on earth do you find time to be all of the things that you are, from a fashion model all the way to somebody that races motorbikes and races them very well indeed?
Well, I think it's really hard to do all these things because... you know, I only have 24 hours in my day. Like I'm the same. So I think it's really about organization and maybe having a clear schedule and being able to set time for each of this topic. But I really think that when you do something with passion and when you love what you do, you can just spend hours and you don't notice that you're doing this thing since, I don't know, 3-4 hours. So It's only about loving what I do also.
I think that's right. When you love what you do, I mean, me and Dave, me and Prutz, we're very lucky. We love what we do and nothing feels
Absolutely.
Like work really. But in terms of your love affair, we'll get onto all of your other stuff you do. But in terms of your love affair with bikes, when did this start? Did you grow up with a family member who loved motorbikes, or when did this start for you?
Oh, actually, it didn't come from my family because none of them were into bikes. So my dad and my stepdad got their driving license, like, I don't know, 10 years ago. They were like 45 years old, so really old for the license.
Hang on. Can I just clarify? 45 is not really old, okay?
No. It's old for the license. It's not old for the life.
Okay.
And I think I did the same like 10 years ago for the road bike. And about the track thing, it started in 2021. So I've been riding for around 5 years. I met this guy I really liked, and he was into track riding, but he was never available for a date. So the only way I could get a date with him was to buy a track bike and go with him to the track, Manicourt. So yeah, he said, "I'm going to the track next week. Sorry, I'm busy." And I say, "Okay, can I come?" And he say, "Yeah, you can, but do you have a bike?" I said, "Yes," but I didn't. So I just bought a bike and all the gear. And yeah, 8,000 euros later, I was in a relationship with him. So
that's amazing, Amelia.
That's so cool.
That's the first time we've heard it, of passing your test for love. That's the first person who said that.
Yeah, I was really in love with him, but he's not around anymore, but I still have the patience. So I think I'm really grateful for what he brought in my life, because actually now it's a big part of my life. So I think people are just here to bring you somewhere, and he made a job and he's just looking forward with his life.
It's a wonderful way of looking at it, giving you that life perspective. So there was someone in that got you into it from the passion of motorcycle side of it. You mentioned your family not being bikers, Amelia. What then was their reaction to you? I mean, first and foremost, taking up motorcycling, taking it up for a man as well.
Yeah.
And then moving on to what you're doing now, because it being such a massive part of your life, have they got their heads around how wonderful it is for you?
I'm lucky because my parents are really supportive with what I do with bikes. So I think they're really proud also. Mm-hmm. And they're never worried about crash. So mm-hmm. that's crazy because every time I fall, I tell my dad, he's always saying something like, okay, it's part of the job. And I'm like, okay, but I don't like this part of the job. Like, it's not my favorite part. And it's like, no, but it's part of learning. And like, my body learn a lot, but okay. So yeah, I think I'm lucky. And I have a little story. I made a race in... it was the first race of the year last year, and I just crashed during practice. So it was on Friday, I guess, and on Sunday I had the two races. So I decided to keep going for the whole race with two broken bones, and oh, I called my dad and I said, "It really hurts. Like, it was hurting, honestly." And he said, "Okay, either you're too hurt to continue, or you just decide to go." And stop complaining about the pain. Like, you need to focus your attention on something else. But if you want to quit, you can quit. It's okay. You don't have to do it. And I said, okay, I really needed to hear that. So yeah. I just had an amazing race because I was thinking about something different than the pain. And I needed to have this advice from my dad. So it was really amazing.
That's fantastic.
Your dad sounds a wonderful man. Yeah. I like it. That's a good attitude to life, not just motorbike racing. But what I would love to know, a couple of things if I can ask. Uh-huh. Does your ex-boyfriend still know about your life now? Does he know that you're a better rider than him? Because I think this is fantastic. I mean, it's his loss and motorcycle's gain.
I think he knows. It's difficult to not know in France because I'm kind of famous in bikes world. So I think he knows. And I think he's like, what? How it happened, because he wanted to do competing in race championship, and he was always afraid about failure and he never did it. So I think it's like, whoa, she did it and I didn't. So maybe a little jealous, but I hope you will do
brilliant.
It one day.
Yes, Amelia, yes.
What made you decide to go professional then? You said you passed your bike test 5 years ago. You got into biking because of a love of a man, and obviously that didn't work out. We've established that. Then you must have found out, hang on a minute, not only do I like bikes, I'm pretty quick on these things. When was the decision for you to say I could race competitively? Because that's a big decision to make, because you're very busy modeling and social media and lots of other things. When did biking become up there important for you, so it was going to be a career?
I think you're going to laugh, but I have a boy behind all the story. It was another one. I went through
this is
a
amazing.
Really big breakup. And I was with someone really toxic, and it was really hard because, you know, when you have a toxic relationship, it's like taking all your energy. And then when you just go out of it, you're asking yourself, who am I, what I love, and all those things. And it made me question a lot about myself, and my self-confidence was really broken. So he was a competitor in race championship, and I decided to prove myself that I could do things without him. So I wanted to see that I can be a racer like he was. And yeah, it was a need to prove myself, my independence and my abilities to do things without my man or this man. Mm-hmm. And it works. After the first race, I was really happy, and it was the first time with just a bit of happiness after the breakup. So I started to be a new girl, really confident and really, really happy. And in the end, this relationship was really terrible. But now I think it was one of the best things in my life, because if you take the good from bad moments, you can just grow up and just glow up and be the person you wanted to be, because it's always about energy. Like, it's big amount of energy, and you can decide where you want to put your energy. If you want to be someone a new person, a new with a new era, or if you want to stay in the same circle every time.
Amelia, it's an amazing way that you're talking about it. We've had a lot of guests on here, and we talk about, and it's maybe a question further down this wonderful chat that we're having about what motorcycling means to you, but you're talking about it from an energy point of view and a way of taking focus from something that's been upsetting and unhappy and turning it into something so unbelievably positive and forward thinking. And it sounds like it's becoming quite a short space of time, absolutely who you are, isn't it? It's a massive part of you as a person, Amelia, and what you feel and what you put out back into the world. So when we're chatting and you and I are asking you questions about success, and you talk about how popular you are in France and across socials and all that, it comes from the energy that you're putting out, taking that stuff in which made you feel a certain way and thinking, no, I'm not going down that road. My road's this way, a positive one full of sunshine. It's an amazing thing that you've done.
I think it's a big part of being happy. I mean, I'm never upset with people, and I only, when I have some haters on Instagram, like everybody does.
Social media.
I have some haters, I always spread love, and I'm always saying, okay, I hope you will have a good day, because if you're trying to make me feel unhappy just because, I don't know, maybe you have a good day or a bad day, or maybe you're insecure and you just want to spread your insecurities, but I'm not guilty about it. And I really hope you will have a good day and some self-confidence one day, so you don't have to talk with people on Instagram. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think it's all about energy. And when you're positive, I'm absolutely sure you can attract positive things.
Correct.
In life.
Absolutely.
Like, it's
100%.
You're like a magnet, and you can attract what you want. Like, if you have, it's horrible to realize that if you have a terrible life, it's maybe part of your, it's your bad. Like, you are
absolutely
always focusing on bad things, so you only have bad things in your life. So it's really hard to realize that it's your bad, but it's the truth. Like, you need to understand that you are the guilty one in the story, and you can just change your mind and try to be more positive, and things will totally change.
I think that's a credit to you, your mindset, and how your parents have brought you up, because clearly in life we can all dwell and focus on the negative things, and there's lots of bad news if you turn the television on. But I think your mindset, there's lots of young girls and boys who could learn from you the fact that life is going to treat you badly at times. And yes, there are going to be barriers and tough times, but you either sit at home and cry, or you think, no, I'm going to prove myself. And I think the way, like Prats has said, the way you've channeled bad things and turned them into good, you're an advert for positivity. We absolutely love that. It's a brilliant way of living. And we speak to lots of people, and they say motorcycling for them is a way to escape. They put the helmet on, and you can forget the social media, you can forget the breakup with the boyfriends, whatever it might be, pressure from work. You get away with that helmet, and you can just be anywhere you want. And I love the fact that you have made this into your career. I mean, if you could tell us how important motorcycling is to you, because clearly you've used it as a tool to get over breakups and to meet new people, whatever it might be. But it clearly not dictates your life, but you use your motorbike as a tool for happiness, don't you? It's good.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously it's always, I think when you start racing or just have a motorcycle on the road, your life changed totally. Like, there is a before and an after. Like, because you start to feel freedom. You start to feel who you really are, what you really want. You start to gain self-confidence because you're riding something that can go, mine can go 200 kilometers per hour, for example. And you need to be confident because you can't just doubt every time there is a car or priorities. You need to say, okay, I am the driver. I know what I do, and I can. Just, I'm confident about my abilities and what I can do. So I think the bike changed life. I always say that. I said that yesterday to a big community, because I was talking, and I said, if you're thinking about it, if you just say, okay, I would love to have my license because I don't know, it's something I love, I said, stop thinking, just do it. And if you don't want the motorcycle after, you can. You have the choice. The point is having the choice. You can have the bike, you can decide you don't want the bike, but you have the choice. And when you have one, it's always a big part of your life. I don't know any rider that can say, oh, I have a bike, but I don't care, I'm never riding. Yeah. That's It doesn't exist. Like, people have a bike, a big garage, like a sofa in the garage. They go with the friend. They say, oh, look at my bike. I just changed that. Everything. Like, it's the topic of everything. They are only talking about bikes.
It's such a good point, Amita, because you're either nobody's kind of ambivalent about motorcycles. You either don't like them or you absolutely love them, and we're very much in the absolutely love it camp. So, given what that feeling is for you, and that those emotions that you're conveying, when you took your motorcycle test and then you got told, "Here's your license, congratulations, you've passed," you must have been absolutely bursting with joy.
Yeah, I think it was complicated because I failed 3 times.
Whoa! Come on, talk us through it.
Yeah, 3 times. Every time I was desperate. Always, yeah. I was really good in lessons.
So were you too into it, Amelia? Do you think it was because you wanted it so badly? Okay.
I was like, really, I get so stressed the day of the test, and I was like losing all my energy. I was at panic and messed everything up every time. So the day I finally passed, I was like, wow, that's finally over.
Yeah.
I don't have to retake or spend more monies, because every time it was like, I don't know, 200 euros more.
What? And
my license was like, I don't know, 4 times the real price. So I was always upset. I was saying, Dad, I will never have it. And he said, You will, but just take the time. And I say, okay, take the time. It's the fourth. And I don't know. It was really, really hard. And I was the only girl every time. So everybody was looking at me. And I don't know.
Well, Amelia, was there a bit of that? Because again, it's something that you and I have discussed in the past about the different dynamics with motorcycling, with different backgrounds, and whether it's male or female. And an old-fashioned take on it is it's quite a macho kind of blokey environment. So when you're going into that and you're so desperate to try and be as relaxed as possible in the testing environment, the reaction of other people, has that changed at all in the 5 years since you passed your test and you've gone into racing? Is it more accepting of a female being very good at a motorcycle and being very capable?
Yeah, that's complicated, because I hear a lot of people saying that attitude have changed, but I don't really think they have, because I always have comments about my body, my looks, or the way I dress. Like, for example, I wear a sport bra because racing is a sport. Maybe it's a spoiler alert, but it's a sport. And people always say that it's not normal that I'm trying to be naked to have like on Instagram. And if you see a guy shirtless, and nobody will say anything. Like Fabio Quartararo, right, during the MotoGP is always shirtless, and it's totally normal. But if I do have a sport bra, I'm looking for attention. So I think it's really hard, and you're never really taken seriously as a girl, because there, for example, if you look at a race, if you look at the result, if it's a woman in last place, everyone will talk about it and say, okay, she doesn't belong to the championship. But if it's a man, no one remembers his name or even cares. Yeah. No one will remember who was the last one.
Hopefully that will change. Hopefully in time that will change. I think it is a male-dominated sport, and unfortunately it's a lot of old-fashioned men who watch it and think, well, what's she doing there? But you must have immense pride. What's it like, if you forget you're not racing, imagine you're in the streets of Paris, weaving in and out of the traffic, or you're doing an open track there. What is it like when you stop and you take your helmet off and people expect, you know, a man with a beard with dirty fingernails and you're a beautiful woman gets off and looks all glamorous and you can ride a bike? I mean, that must shock a lot of people in a good way. You must be proud of the fact you can ride. It doesn't matter what you look like. You are very good on a motorbike.
Yeah. They're always thinking, wow, why does she have a bike? Like, does she know it's dangerous? And I'm like, sometimes they say, oh, be careful, it's really, really dangerous. And I'm like, oh, sorry, I didn't know. Nobody told me when I passed the license. It's a big surprise. If it's dangerous, take the key. I don't want it anymore. Like, that's crazy. Or they say, oh, and you're not too small? And I'm like, yes, I am. But I can handle that. I don't care if I'm small. So yeah, it's always complicated, but it's I think people just spread their own insecurities, like we were saying, yes. and this is part of human nature, and I don't think you can change human nature. So we just, I think women should stop wasting energy trying to change people, and we should start wasting energy trying to be really secure. And it's more, I don't want to change men. I just don't care what they say.
I think that's a tremendous way of putting it. Let's have a quick bit of mid-show housekeeping. If you haven't already, please press subscribe on YouTube so that you never miss an episode, or press the follow button on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts from. We were chatting, Amelia, just before we started recording about where we find you in and around Paris. And we the racing side of it, as opposed to leisurely going out for a ride on your bike. Now, I presume certain parts of Paris are like certain parts of London, where it's heavily, there's lots of cameras, it's very heavily surveilled, everyone's watching about who's going over 20 miles an hour, and there's bus lanes and there's all types of stuff that makes riding quite complicated in a huge capital city. How does that affect your riding when you're used to kind of pushing it on a racetrack and really going for it? Can you then change, can you take your racing head off and just put your riding head back on so you can kind of enjoy meandering through a city or towns, and you can adapt your riding as you see fit, because you quite obviously love going very fast, don't you?
Yeah, I will disappoint, but I'm the type to stick to speed limits. And
yes, that's not disappointed, that's responsible, Amelia. Well done, good answer.
And I never take unnecessary risks, and
yeah,
especially because I already get my adrenaline fix on the track, so I don't need, the track is controlled. There is firemen. If you crash, there is no other user. There is no priorities. There is no tree. It's so controlled that I think you're secure. And when I'm on the road, I can see all the dangers much more clearly, I think, than other people. And I know how fast you can crash. Like,
yeah.
You just have to do something bad with your brake and you can just lose front. So I know how it's easy to crash. So yeah, that said, sometimes I might be going a little over the speed limits without noticing, because, you know, it's an habit. I never ride on regular roads. So I really don't feel the 50 kilometers. I don't know how to go slow. So yeah. I'm just riding. I said, oh my God, I just need to go slower. I will say to the police, I'm sorry, it was not my bad. I really swear, I didn't know. It was like, do you know how fast you're going? No, and I really swear I didn't. It was not my bad. I'm just used to go faster.
Amelia, what's the? Because I've ridden through France and I've been through not necessarily through Paris, but on the periphery, and I'm trying to work out. I've always felt in France, and more so on the continent, I think England's getting there slowly but surely. And you can give us the other side of the English version of this. But because there's so many bikers on the continent, because there's a slightly different biking culture, I think, they're very accepting. If you're in a busy motorway and it's jammed up, or the Payage or wherever, cars will get out of your way, won't they? You can lane split. They're so happy to let you get past. Whereas in England, sometimes they're a bit begrudging, kind of, harumphing that you're coming past. The attitude to bikers in France, in Paris, in places like that, how have you found it? Are they very welcoming? Are they on your side?
I think they are. It's depending. You can have, be a biker in France is not really good. That means you are like the bad guy. It's not fashion, it's the bad guy in France. It's like you come from the periphery of the town, where you,
the wrong side of the tracks. Money.
Yeah, it's like not really fashion, not really popular. But on the road, when you're just driving, people are, I think they understand that you are risking your life. Like if they do something, you can die. So they just try to be conciliant and let you go. But it's easier to, I think it's easier to ride when you're not in the city, because obviously the city, there is a lot of cars, people with the phone. That's terrible. You every time something happens, you can't be sure it was a driver with the phone in the end. And that's horrible because they kill people. Like, it's really dangerous. So I think they need to understand that we are not in a car. We're like in the nature and we can die. So so most of people understand that, but not everybody, obviously. Mm. But there is a culture like you can go pass through car and you can just have a two car moving for the bike. It's like normal here.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I've been out on my bike quite a bit this week in the little villages where I live, and yeah, they don't like me around here either. That's my fault though, because my pipes are so loud. I think the neighbours are moaning at me. But what I'd like to ask you, because you juggle so much, because, you know, we said earlier, you know, social media influencer, you're a model, you know, riding your bike professionally as well. I keep thinking, surely you're going to be the next Lara Croft, or Hollywood are going to come calling to star alongside Tom Cruise.
I'd love to.
Seriously, why not make it happen? Your positive mentality, you can manifest this.
Yeah.
I want to see you in Hollywood.
I'm sure I can manifest anything, so maybe one day. Yesterday I was invited to a big event in Paris in the peninsula, so the hotel is wonderful, and it's like a ceremony to give trophy to the woman inspiring the most in their category. So I was just invited, like I was just one of the invitation, one in a million, like everybody were there. And I was like, okay, this is just an invitation. And they say I won the prize for the sport category. And I just started to cry saying, hey, I was just invited. How I passed from being invited to being the winner of the category. And I was like, this is so manifestation. Like, I was manifesting this moment. So, okay, I want to manifest to come back in a really, really beautiful car. And then a Lotus was just in front of the hotel just for me. And I was like, okay, this game is amazing. It's like Jumanji, but with the good thing.
The best version of Jumanji.
Yeah, it's like a good Jumanji. Like, you can just say, okay, I want to play Jumanji.
I mean, your life, from what we're hearing, Amelia, and what we read and what we see, it feels a bit like a fairy tale, doesn't it? You talk about manifestation, it goes back to the energy that you said about putting back into the world and your approach to things. And the word you used was magnet, and it's absolutely right, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're attracting good things because you're pushing good stuff out.
I think. And I stopped trying to escape who I am. Like, when I was younger, I thought that being sensitive was not cool. And I had to be really strong and say, everything is good. I will always handle it. Like, and now I really accept who I am. Like, I'm really sensitive. Like, really, really. I can just cry when I watch TV because they are sending bomb in countries. So I know I am, and it's okay. Like, I'm okay with that. Yesterday I was crying in front of everybody taking my breath, and I said, sorry, I'm really sensitive, like you can see. And it's okay. And I don't try to be always strong and just reject my emotion. I want to feel it, and I want to feel everything, and I don't want to escape from who I am. And I just want to embrace all I am, like the good and the bad. I can't be only good. I have some bad things, and I sometimes have bad reaction, and it's okay. And I just say, okay, I made it bad. That's okay.
I like the fact you say, you know, I'm the same. I'm very sensitive. I'll cry at a film or anything, but, but how do you then switch when you're on the grid and yeah, welcome to the team. But how do you as a sportswoman change your mentality then from being that sensitive woman who can get upset quite easily to then, you're an ultimate competitor. You're on the grid. The lights are about to go. And I'm assuming you just switch. You come into race mode. Obviously, we said earlier, I think you were a gymnast when you were younger. So sport has been a part of your life for a long time. How easy is it for you to go from model to no, racing a motorbike for a living? Is it easy to make that transformation?
I think it is, because it's all some part of me, and I feed them like with equality. Like, I give food to all this part, and each one I am are living good with the other. So I think things can work if you are totally aligned with what you want and want what you are. And because the model me is really okay with the racer me, everything is good. Like, we're living together. But yeah, honestly, it's difficult to just switch off. Like, and sometimes they ask you to do both of them. Like, you're on the grid and you need to be the model at the same time that you want to, you need to go on the race. So sometimes it's more difficult, but I'm, like I said, I don't know, like 20 minutes ago, I love what I do. So I really love being the racer, and I know that I can be the model the next day. So I just switch, and it's okay. And sometimes I'm sensitive on the race. Like, it's not because I'm racing that I'm always like a rock. I'm not. Sometimes I'm crying on the paddock. I mean, and all the guys are saying, oh, she's just a girl. I'm like, yeah, I'm just a girl. Honestly, yeah. I am. You're not like super intelligent because you saw that. I am. So yeah, I'm just a girl and I can cry on the grid. I remember last year, just before the last race, it was really tough condition because it was rainy but sunny. So we didn't know which tire we needed to choose. And I did as everybody. So it was slick tire, so sunny tire, but it was really not dry. Like, it was wet. Honestly, it was really dangerous. And I was in the front row, like sixth position of 25, I think. And I was the only woman. And they came to make the interview on the TV. And they said, how do you feel? I said, I'm absolutely afraid. I think.
Terrified.
I'm terrified. It's going to be really, really dangerous. The conditions are horrible. And I don't know. I don't want to go. And they were like laughing, saying, you're the only one saying the truth. Like, everybody are like, okay, I feel confident. I'm going to make a very good race. And I was like, no, I'm terrified. I just want to go back to my home. It's going to be really hard. And then the race was really good and I made a very beautiful podium. So sometimes being honest is not bad. And I've seen a podcast about a good athlete, and they say naming your fear, saying what you feel, is a way to, I don't know how to say that, but it's a way to put it out and just
face your fears.
Like exorcism, like you're like...
Owning it, yeah.
And it's a good way to do. I just name my emotion. I just say, I feel that. So I am not controlled by the emotion. I control it. I know I feel it. I accept it. It's okay. I'm afraid. And it's better than to say, okay, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Mm. Because then the feeling will control the racer. You need to control the feeling. You don't need to be controlled by the feeling. It's the same with the fear. I mean, when you race, you're afraid. Like, everybody, I don't want to die. Nobody wants to die. So when you just have to take the break at the end of a straight line, you're afraid. And when they say you need to break after, you're afraid. And it's all about control the fear and not be controlled by the fear. Like saying, okay, I'm afraid. Mm-hmm. Okay, I feel it, but I need to be stronger than my fear. So I need to try. I need to do it. And I love when girls say, oh, you're never afraid. I say, I am. I'm always afraid. But I just try to be more strong than the fear. And that's all.
It's an amazing way to talk about it. I mean, and like you say, I think given as well your position and given your reach, it's such a important thing. The message that you're saying, which is the honesty side of it, which is it's okay to be afraid. And if you are able to say that and discuss it out loud, it gives so many more people hope that you can sit inside that feeling, but not let that feeling overwhelm you. And you think, well, the only way, I mean, literally in a race, the only way to conquer this is forward. As soon as the light goes, bang, you're gone and you're in a different headspace. That transition from feeling the fear, whether in the modeling world or in the racing world, and being able to be the different people is such a fascinating one. Are you now in a position, given the success that you've had, you talk about the emotional side of everything and the way that you feel, but I presume you're a businesswoman as well, aren't you? Because you've got all these different facets to your professional life. How easy is it as a businesswoman in these worlds, like to get sponsorship, to be able to get people interested? Do they come to you? Have you pushed yourself out there to become a businesswoman, or has business come to you off the back of being good at what you do?
I think I have a love affair for being a businesswoman and just handle a lot of businesses at the same time, just not one. And because I'm a woman, it's easier to be brandable, like to be a good marketing, because I think when you're a woman and you race in a female-only championship, you're just one with a bunch of girls, and you're not the one. But when you're a girl in a mixed competition, well, you naturally get more attention because everybody will say, oh, it's a girl, she's alone. And so I have a lot of support from brands, and I just need, it's really difficult because you need to be the racer, the model, and at the same time, you need to do the account, you need to check your bank account, you need to do the paper, the invoice, and I do all this thing alone, so this is a lot of time.
All alone, Amelia?
Yeah, I prefer to do it alone because I think that people, when you give them too much, they try to take
too much.
Yeah, correct. My dad at a restaurant, and the worst is the employees. Like, they were always taking money in the restaurant, so this is not good. And I prefer to do it because I feel lucky to have this chance to own my own businesses, and this is really a luck. So I want to do all the part, even the bad one, because it's part of the job, and I want to know all the aspect of being businesswoman. But yeah, clearly the visibility is better when you are a girl in a mixed competition, and a lot of brands just want to support me for the love of the sport and what I do. Like, they are like, they want to support me just to say, okay, I really love what you do, and I want to be a support, not only for the visibility, but also because they love women trying to push their limit with men. So,
and it's because of how you do it, Amelia. I'm not saying this in a sense of something that you wouldn't already know, because you quite clearly know your self-worth, which is such an important thing across the board in any profession for anybody. But they're not just saying, oh, there's a woman in the mix. They're saying, this woman who is fiercely intelligent, passionate about what she does, she wears her heart on her sleeve, she's open, she's charming, she's charismatic. That's part of it as well, isn't it? It's not just, oh, there's a woman in a mix thing. It's the specific type of person and woman that you are.
It's being good person, you know.
Yes.
I know a lot of people that have a contract with a helmet, for example, and they will have like 10 helmets for the year. They use like 3, and they just sell the other. And this is, wow, I can't do anything like that. This is not good. If something has been free, you need to give it to someone, but you can't sell it to someone.
Yeah.
And, you know, I start to be family with all the brand I have as a support. Like, when I go to the MotoGP, I'm supported by Shoei, the helmet.
Wow, amazing.
I go to the MotoGP, I sleep in the truck, like the Shoei truck with them. And I'm just eating in the morning the breakfast with them, like if I were family. And actually, the racing service of Shoei helmet in the MotoGP came to my house with my family to do the Christmas one year. And he's like 60 years old. Like, no, I hope he's not like 60. He's 50.
Can you imagine if he's about 45?
Well, he's 50. No. I don't know. But he's old. Like, I'm not interested in he's not. Like, it's more family. And I love that. And I think when you just, I never forget the human part of the business. And this is really important. Like, I don't know. Yesterday when I had the prize for the sport category, the girl who organized all this ceremony was really happy. And she said, I was so happy to know that you won because I really love the contact we had. And this is the part of it. You never forget the human part. It's really, really important.
And I think that's why one of the reasons you're so successful, you clearly are a down-to-earth, lovely person. And I can tell when you speak, you're passionate, that it's important for you to be liked and for liked for the right reasons. But like Prut said, the reason you're so busy in life, the reason why you're doing so well is you're good at what you do. But this is going to be a tough question in terms of, it's like picking your favorite child. If there was one of the aspects of your life you enjoy the most, and it sounds to me like you've got them in perfect balance and they all go hand in hand, but what's the most enjoyable for the day-to-day life of you? Would it be modeling, being a social media influencer, or a motorbike racer? If you had to pick one of those, I know they work together, but what's your favorite?
Oh, that's so hard. I it's impossible to answer that. I don't know. I don't even know what to say.
You can love them all the same if you want. That's no problem.
I love Netflix with popcorn, actually. But no, I don't know. It's complicated because, well, I know my racing career will end someday because I will retire when my body hurts too much. So one day it will be too much. Mm. But I think I could keep being an influencer because as an influencer, you can be a model. And as an influencer, they can give you some bike for testing bikes or white cards in championships. So influencer would be the one which I could stay racing and be modeling. So it's easier to choose this one. But yeah, it would be really hard because I really love all my job.
That's a perfect answer though, isn't it? Because by doing the influencer, it allows you to do the other things you love. So I think you've given the perfect answer there. You've kept everybody happy.
Yeah, Amelia, you've just touched on something there about the physical side of it as well. I mean, in other lives, myself and Ewan, I used to play football a very, very long time ago. Ewan's a gold medal winning Olympic athlete, former. Now he's really old, like your friend at Shuey. Really, really old. He's in his 50s. But the physical toll of what it does to your body with racing, obviously, there's the element of if anything happens where you actually come off the bike, that's a different thing entirely. But the physical aspect of what racing demands of you and your body, is it? Can you talk us through the tough part about what that is? Because I suppose you've got to rest, you've got to recuperate, you've got to be strong, you've got to be very, very fit. It must be quite physically demanding.
Yeah, physical preparation is really a big part of being a raider. I mean, everybody can do what they want. I know some racer and they don't do any sport. So it's about what you want to do. But you really have to be at your best when you ride your bike to recover from injuries or crashes. And sport builds self-confidence too. Like it's good for self-confidence. And I spend a ton of time training every time. I need it. I like climbing. I like running indoor. Yeah, running and indoor, like on the
treadmill.
I like to do it outdoor too. Mm-hmm. But I think it's harder to do it in the gym without any music or anything. Just watching the time.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's really tough. That's really.
I love that because it's really mental. Like you're annoying all the time and thinking, wow, it was only 1 minute, but I made 20. So yeah, I love that. I love cycling, and I go to the gym every day. I think like 1 hour, 1 hour and a half. I love to weight really, really strong, like men, like. I don't know. It's really important for me when I go to the machine and I see the man was like 50 kilos and I can say, okay, I need 60. Like, I feel really strong. I feel really, really strong. And I think it's really important because it always helps me to develop some different skills. Like, for example, climbing, it's really good because I have some fear. And it helps me to think, okay, just take a breath. It's going to be fine. You just need to go up. And that's good. And it's good to burn off energy and to feel strong, healthy, and be a whole woman with strong abilities. And yeah, it's good physically and mentally.
Yeah, you can say, I mean, it's just a broad spectrum of the way that you approach your life, Amelia. There's no stone left unturned. And given what your life has brought you so far with so much more to come, and you talk about yesterday and receiving an award and it being something that was very moving for you. Is the one thing right now that you can say that you're most proud of? I mean, going back to what Ewan asked you about which part of your life you'd take if you had to move the other ones around, it sounds like there's so many things that possibly come to your head right now. Can you pick one thing?
Wow. I don't know. There is so many things. I'm proud to wake up every morning. Without any alarm. This good is answer. Such a really good life. But
big smile on your face as well.
Be happy is something I'm proud of. But I think maybe the look in my dad's face every time I take off my helmet or when I have a master's degree in political science, so
just chuck that in there.
I feel so underwhelming when it comes to talking about this. This is amazing. Just one thing after another. I love it.
I'm going to bring you I think if I go to my library, I have the book.
Reception.
I do have it here. Ooh, just this one is the one I wrote myself. It's my thesis from the political science master degree.
Of course you've written a book.
I really wanted to offer that to my dad. I said, one day I will write a book and you will have it in your library. And now he has it and he has all the page inside. So yeah, that was something I was really proud of because I became a writer and I didn't thought that I could be writing a book. But I think the most important is, it's exactly what I said yesterday at the ceremony. I think if the little girl I was, so the woman I am now, she would say, oh, I want to be like her. Like, she's my role model and I want to be the same. And that makes me feel really, really proud because it's really important to be the inspiration of the child we were. So
amazing. Absolutely amazing, Amelia.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's lovely the fact that when you were asked what are you most proud of, you actually selflessly said, I'm proud when my dad is proud. You know, fact that you've made your dad proud and the fact that you've made the young version of you would be so proud of you. And honestly, we have been really lucky to have you on here because it's been lovely talking to you, but you're not allowed to go quite yet. We've got our final question for you, and this is a good one. So I would like to know your fantasy ride. So if you could ride anywhere in the world, what bike would you be on? Where would you be riding?
Okay.
Would you be with anybody? And if so, would you be listening to music together? Please tell me it's the ex-boyfriend. You'll be taking him on a ride and leaving him behind.
No. I don't want to be with any of my ex, actually. No, I think I have two. Because one on the road and one on the track. The road one would be in Mexico. I have spent a year and a half there. I was living in Mexico, and Mexico is so nice. You need to go. It's amazing. So it would be in Mexico. I think I'd be with my dad between Playa del Carmen and Tulum. That's really amazing. I guess a vintage bike, like the Triumph Speed Triple, something like that, the old one. The RR, it's really good. And I'd be listening to some French rock because my dad likes it. And when we go on holiday, we just listen to French rock. And on the track, I think about Portimão.
Yes,
beautiful. Portugal. Amazing because there is beautiful sunset on the track. You can just ride and enjoy it. And after that, I would go with my friends in the city to go to the restaurant with the sea and the sunset. And I would listen to Aitana. The music is Mon Amour. It's really
Mon Amour.
Nice.
Really nice.
That's Amelia. They both sound absolutely amazing. And once again, you mentioned your dad, and it just sounds so lovely. The fact that you've managed to kind of forge your way in a industry which was alien to your family, but they're all actively on board and really proud of what you've done there. Just one thing before we let you go, and it's so you've done this our podcast here in your second language. I bet you speak more than two languages, don't you?
Yeah.
Of course you do. Come on, what else do you speak?
Bueno, también hablo español muy bien, pero porque estaba viviendo en México, entonces eso me ha ayudado. Und ich spreche Deutsch ein bisschen.
Ich spreche ein bisschen Deutsch. Mein Eltern hatten Deutschland gewonnen, so ich verstand Deutsch, ja.
Mein Stepvater war von Freiburg. Ach so.
So hang on, that's four languages and then French and English, so six. Is that, I count six, is that right?
I speak Corsican, but this is not really a language because I come from Corsica. This is like a mix between Italian and Latin. Like it's really strange. This language is only for Corsican people, like really few. So it's not really useful in life.
We've only just mastered one language, English. We've just mastered it. So, yeah. You put us to shame.
This has been more than education, Emil. It's been an inspiration. I mean, there's no can't in your life, is there? It's only what can I do? Where it's going to take me now? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, Ewan, if in 5 years' time we look back and we were speaking about chatting to Amelia today, and in 5 years you had your own racing team, you had your own clothing company, you were running multi-businesses.
Oscar-winning actress.
Hollywood. Yeah. I would be Lara Croft. We said it, yep. So I will try. But I think in life you need to try everything. This Sunday, I'm sick. This Sunday, I will run a half marathon. And I don't run any. I don't run. I have run like 20 times in my life. But I will do it. And I do it with some glitter on my face. And I will just have fun with my friend. And
yeah.
And that's it. It's, people never want to do things because they're afraid of failure. But it's okay. I just want to have some glitter. You can fail. Nobody would notice even if you fail or not. So people are only egocentric. They only think about themselves. They don't care about you or your time. So
do you know what? Before we finish, I have to say there's a few things you've said which I could listen to all day. One is glitter, the way you say glitter, helmet, the way you said helmet, and hurt yourself, hurt myself. Your accent has been you've been the best guest ever. It's
amazing.
Been amazing.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, no, genuinely. When you said hurt myself and then glitter, it just sounds, I love it.
Okay, that's perfect. I try to keep my French accent, so.
Amazing, Amelia. I mean, and I suppose the main message from this, Ewan, is always go for the glitter. Sadly, that's about it for this week's full chat powered by Bikeshow's UK's largest independent motorcycle insurance broker. Bikeshow will tailor a quote to your exact needs and help you save you money on your annual bike, scooter or moped insurance and so much more.
A huge thank you to today's special guest. It's been an absolute delight talking to her. And if you don't follow Amelia on social media, please do at Amelia Dobrev. Absolutely brilliant on social media, brilliant on the bike, brilliant at everything she does, and speaks about 8 languages.
Thank you, Amelia. It's been an absolute pleasure. Don't forget to press the subscribe button on YouTube so that you never miss an episode, a wonderful one like this, or press the follow button on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts from.
As ever, it's been an absolute joy. Thank you for joining us. Until next time, see you later.